produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the living room. It's the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. And if this is your first time tuning into the living room, you picked a great time to tune in because we have got a wonderful show in store for you. Before we get into today's topic, I do want to say a few words about our show last month. We talked about overcoming adversity, and it was powerful because the young woman on the show, Jada Wilson, talked about what it took to get through college and her book, Dear God, College Sucks. Well, it was a great interview, and I got wonderful feedback from you guys. So glad that you were able to tune in and glad that you enjoyed the show. And remember, our commitment is to both inform and empower. So I believe that you were able to get both of those last month at our show. And guess what? This month we will not disappoint because we've got a great show coming your way. So I want to introduce to you our guest. Her name is Nikki Humphreys. She is a native of Washington, D.C., and she is an operations professional. She's a mom. She's a daughter. She's a wife. She wears a lot of hats. But today she's wearing the hat of a business owner, and she's going to talk to us today about her journey to entrepreneurship. So let me welcome for the first time to the living room, Nikki Humphreys. Nikki, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Good evening. It's great to be here.
Well, we are so glad to have you. Well, I want to jump right into our topic today because I know that we have a lot of listeners who are definitely either business owners themselves or are aspiring business owners. And either way, we want you to hear today's show. So you're the owner now of Yanelli Beauty Supply. And I'm always excited to talk to people who actually have the opportunity to see their dream become a reality. I really think of it as like birthing a child, because I believe that starting a business is very much like childbirth. So let's start talking about the dream itself. And when did you know you wanted to be a business owner? Well, let me say it this way. When did you know you were pregnant?
Oh, okay. Good question. Well, let me just go back a little bit. I believe I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit in me, even when I was a young child. I remember in elementary school, I used to tear out the jet models of the week or whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And there was a request for those. And so I had an abundance of them. And so I sold them. And when I was in college, I used to purchase the more expensive books. And where I worked at the time, I had access to a copy machine, and I would make copies of the books, and then I would sell them. So I always found, like, where there was a need, a desire, and I just felt it was my purpose to fulfill that. So when it came to owning Yanelli Hair and Beauty Supply, I knew I needed something when I went natural about 15 years ago. I was a product junkie. I was trying to figure out what to do with my hair because I didn't want to relax it anymore. So I just needed to figure out what curl type did I have? How do I care for it? And so I did a lot of research, and I wanted to find a place where I could just go and just buy everything. But at the time, you know, you had to buy everything online. And I said, no, I need a place where I could just go, and there wasn't. So I said, you know what, whenever I get the chance, I'm going to open up my own store. And so that's when it actually birthed in me. That's when I actually, not birthed, but that's when I actually had the idea like 15 years ago.
Wow. And so you have this vision, right? And you've decided this is something that you want to do. But I want our listeners to hear, how did the vision grow over the 15-year period before you actually launched the business?
Okay. So after I kept researching and researching, I stumbled upon an institute in Atlanta that had conferences for those that wanted to open up beauty supply stores. And so I actually went to the conference twice. The first time I went by myself just to gauge it, to see if it was something that I wanted to move forward with. And then the second time I took my husband, Cornelius, with me so that he could see it, just to get his buy-in. And so from there, we said, okay, this is what we're going to do. But we knew it was going to take a lot of money. And at the time, we did not have all the funding that we thought we needed then. But then last year, in 2021, I just kept praying on it, to be honest with you. I just kept praying on it, but I never let the dream go because I knew in my heart it was something that I wanted to do. So I just kept praying and praying. And then in 2021, that's when all the resources became available. And I was like, okay, God, I see what you're doing, because I transitioned into a new role in employment, and I kept wondering, like, why are you moving me here? I'm comfortable where I am now. Why are you moving me here? But with that movement, I was able to access a lot of resources. And so as soon as I tapped into that, I said, oh, there we go. There's my store. I have my store now.
Yes.
And from then on, I just kept focusing on that, focusing on making this work, because I just felt that that was God saying, okay, you've been thinking about this thing, you've been planning it for the past 15 years. I need to move you out of this place where you're comfortable so that you can now get these other resources. Now you can tap into something else. So now we're going to work on this dream here.
Wow. So you told us a few things, and I don't know if you, you know, were so deliberate or intentional, but you gave us some great insight. One is that you said you had to get outside of your comfort zone. And so many times when that happens, you know, we're resistant to that. Everybody wants to be comfortable, but you're telling us today that in order to pursue your dream, you're going to have to get outside of your comfort zone. The other thing you told us early on is that you kept praying about it. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely noteworthy, you know, that you kept talking to God about it. And even though you said you wouldn't let the dream go, I really hear that the dream wouldn't let you go. because you were the person, you know, that I believe, you know, had an assignment. And so, you know, even though you didn't see it all manifest at the time that, you know, you acknowledged that this is something I'd like to do, it never died. It continued to have a heartbeat. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, the baby was in the womb, but it was alive. And so I just think that is powerful, and it's also very, very inspirational. I want to talk for just a moment about the industry that you're in, because I know that some of our listeners are saying, wow, a Black-owned beauty supply. How rare is that? And the fact that you are now working to penetrate an industry that is heavily dominated by others. What happened? What are you dealing with now as it relates to that?
Oh well, yes. Yeah, so it is a industry that is dominated by another nationality, but we are trying to penetrate it as much as we can, store by store. The issue is, they manufacture everything. Everything is manufactured in another country. And so they hold that very close to them. However, there are more Black-owned stores being opened almost monthly across the U.S. And the way that I was able to get into the industry is I just networked. I networked. I joined a lot of groups on Facebook of current store owners, and I just, you know, made friends with them. And I actually have a mentor, Miss Helen, in Hagerstown, Maryland. She just opened up her third store, and that's my mentor. And I was able to get a lot of information from her.
Wow.
And then there are other groups that will help you get your supplies. I'll put it that way, will help you get your inventory. Because as a new store, if you try to gain accounts on your own, a lot of times you'll be told no, because you may be too close to another store. So they'll use that as a reason to deny you an account to gain access to inventory. Or if they do allow you an account, your minimum will have to be $3,000 or $5,000, your very first purchase. So they try to make it a little difficult for us to gain access to their inventory, but there's a network, there's a great network of other Black-owned stores that are dedicated to helping other stores open.
I am so encouraged to hear that, because that was something that I had heard early on quite a few people, is that that was an industry that was very hard to penetrate.
Mm-hmm.
So what you told us is, first of all, the networking, so
it's
important.
Key.
And now where we have social media and we have the ability to connect with people electronically, we don't have to physically be in each other's presence, especially with a pandemic, to
right.
be able to connect. So that is huge, and how you did that is certainly noteworthy. The other thing that I heard you say that was so important was that you talked about the fact that you were connected to a mentor. Wow.
Yes.
I have great regard for the whole idea of mentorship and how important that is when it comes to being able to have guidance, learn from others. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Be teachable,
yes.
you know,
mm-hmm.
so that you aren't just trying to, you know, think that you know what's next or what needs to happen, but you are really putting yourself in a place where you can learn as much as possible. Tell us a little bit about the mentorship relationship.
Oh, God, Miss Helen is the best thing ever. I adore her so much. She has played a very integral role in me opening. Because even though I went to the conference twice in Atlanta, although I was in various Facebook groups, still am in various Facebook groups, I did a lot of research, I talked to a few people, there's nothing like getting that firsthand information on the how-tos, what not to do from someone who has been in the business, and I believe for 8-9 years. And like I said, she's getting ready. Well, she just opened her third store. So being able to tap into someone that has that firsthand experience to say, no, Nikki, don't do that. Nikki, you should do that. It's been invaluable. I cannot put a price on it.
Absolutely.
So, and like you said, you have to be teachable because I'm very coachable. I've spent late nights on the phone with her. Even after she had to close her store, she was still very willing to get on the phone with me or video conference with me before I opened. I had a few phone calls where I was panicking before I opened, and she was the first one that I would call, and she would help calm me down and, you know, settle me and tell me, okay, it's going to be all right. This is what you need to do. So, yeah, I thank Ms. Helen so much.
Wow. Well, if you are just joining us, welcome to the living room. I am in a wonderful, insightful conversation with business owner Nikki Humphrey. She's the owner of the new Yanelli Hair and Beauty Supply in Chester, Virginia, and she is dropping a whole lot of wisdom on us today. So I hope you guys are gleaning and taking all of this in because this is some good stuff. Hey, I want to ask you about your partner, your partner in life and your partner in this business endeavor. I really was touched by the way that you guys have been working together as I have observed and also as I have heard you share different aspects of how this all came into being. I want our listeners to hear about partnering with your spouse in business because I've seen some stuff on some of reality shows, and I'm telling you, if your foundation is not strong, a business can wreck a marriage. So I really want them to hear the wisdom that comes from your journey partnering with your spouse.
Neil has been extremely supportive in this journey. Like I said, I went to the conference first just to get an understanding. I drove to Atlanta by myself. I don't really like to drive that long by myself, but I did it. And then the second time he went to the conference because I wanted him to have some buy-in. I needed his buy-in. And at this point, he just lets me do, I'm not going to say he lets me do whatever, but he trusts me. He trusts me, my business acumen, and he knows that I've done a lot of research in this industry. And so we've been together over 20 years. So he knows my strengths, he knows my weaknesses, and vice versa. And so we just work well that way. So he lets me handle the day-to-day operations of the business. And he supports me, and so I'm able to go to him and give him ideas, and he'll tell me, no, I don't think that'll work. And we just work well that way. He's not very hands-on in the operation, but he comes in after he gets off work just to support me and help me with stocking and things of that nature. But he just trusts that I'm going to make the best decision. But when I'm nervous, when I'm scared, he's always there to say, baby, don't worry about it. You got it. Why are you nervous? You got it. And so when he tells me that, it just makes things all right because sometimes he trusts that I'm going to make the right decision sometimes more than I trust myself. So a lot of times I lean on him, and he just, when he tells me that, babe, it's going to be all right, you got it, that just makes me feel like, okay, yeah, I do got it, you know. So and that's
yeah,
what I go with.
Yeah.
He's very, very supportive.
You have that, Yes, and when you have that support and when you have that person that's in your corner, you know, and you share a bed every night, then you have a oneness that they can speak into your heart and know what to say, and it registers differently. It hits differently when it comes from your husband. And so I just want to take a moment to thank him for being such a support and applaud him for, you know, just being, you know, that kind of support and encouragement and a pillar of strength in this journey, because I'm telling you so much of what we glean and we learn as we evolve and discover our strengths and our abilities. You know, having that person in your corner, it's really everything. You know, it's everything. I want to ask you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there have been many times. Well, I want to say maybe since November, where I would say, "Babe, I need to go to Atlanta. I need to go buy more inventory." And he would say, okay. And we would hop in a car and we would drive to Atlanta, spend the weekend. Or sometimes one time we went and we didn't really stay the night. We drove to Atlanta in one day and came right back. And that shows the level of his support. Yeah, he would just drive me anywhere that I need. If I say, I need to go find some inventory, and he'd say, okay, I got you.
What a blessing. So, ladies, I want you to hear, those of you who are out there and you are contemplating being a business owner, this is a beautiful story that I hope will be encouraging to you. Even if you're not married, but you desire to be married, then your spouse-to-be will become a part of that business, because that business is a part of you. And so we'll be able to talk more about how that actually comes into being. Our time is short, and we are quickly running out of time, but I have one more question, and then I want you to tell us about how we can access your services, your products, and the store itself. And here's the question. I want you to take a moment and speak to those women who are contemplating launching their own business, and just tell them from your journey, what wisdom would you give them in addition to everything we've already discussed? Is there something else that you want them to know?
This is great. I had a young lady come in the store a couple of weeks ago, and she had the same question. She was nervous about starting a journey. And my advice is to just jump, just do it. Because the more you think about it, the more you just procrastinating. God gave you that idea. That's what I truly believe within me, that God gave me this vision, and I had to do something with it. I just felt that I had to do something with it. And so I did not want to get older, because I keep pushing it back, and then I get to the point like, well, what if I would have opened up my store? You know, I didn't want to live with the what if. I want to jump. I wanted to do it. And then if I fail, then I just fail. At least I'll learn from it. But if you never jump, if you never do it, you'll never know if you can succeed. And I believe that we all can succeed, but you just have to do it first. You have to jump first and just believe. And I tell you, I prayed on this thing, because I was like, oh my goodness, this is huge. This is different than just owning an online store or some type of consulting service, something that's just online. This is a brick and mortar. This is a store. And I was so nervous. I was so scared. But every morning when I open my doors, I just thank God for it. Because I'm still in awe. Each day I open the door, and I'm like, oh, my God, God, you did this. I tell everyone that asks me. It's all God. God gave me that store. And so I know if he could do it for a little old girl from Northeast D.C., he could do it for anybody.
That's right.
And that's what I believe. Yes.
Oh,
so
but yeah.
Anybody and that, and that, say, just do it.
Yes, yes, that is awesome. Tell us how we can find Yanelli.
We are located at 4416 West 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. Zip code is 23831. We are near the cross section of Harrogate and Route 10, for those familiar with the area, right across the street from Family Dollar. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Social media handle is Yanelli Hair and Beauty.
And it's Y-A-N-E-L-L-I.
No, just one L. Y-A-N-E-L-I. Yes.
L-I. So, yes, so I'm glad we did that so everybody will know exactly how to pull that up. Well, it has been wonderful talking to you. I know we could continue this conversation because there's so much to discuss, but I just want to thank you for being with me in the living room, and I know that the listeners were both empowered and inspired, and those are our two deliverables every time we come together. So with that, we want the listeners to know you can continue to look for this type of programming every time you join me in the living room. And remember, it's by faith that you are able to see that which cannot be seen with the natural eye. Put your faith to work and watch your dreams come true. God bless you, and thank you again for being with us in the living room. We'll see you next month.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Chat and Chuckle with Keita Keet. I will be your host for this evening, Keita Keet. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. To all of my first-time listeners, welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in this evening. And look, if you ever want to contact me, if you ever want to say, hey, Keita, I like what you're doing, if you just want to say hello, or if you have any prayer requests, you can definitely reach me by email. My email is lovetomakeyoulaugh@yahoo.com. And I can also be found on social media, on Facebook as well as Instagram. And that's under Keita Keet, and that's K-E-T-T-A-K-E-E-T. All right, so listen, we're just going to jump right into tonight's show. And I want to start off tonight's show talking about a discussion that I had with a good friend of mine this past week. And we were discussing, you know, assignments, you know, when we are working on different assignments, working on different tasks and things of that nature. And my good friend, he brought up a really good point about how he said that when he really enjoys, you know, what he's doing, of course, it doesn't feel like work. He said, but once he starts an assignment, or once he starts working on something and he really enjoys it, you know, he feels like that's where God has him. You know, that's his purpose. That's where God has him working his purpose or working his assignment. And so he knows that it's God. And though that is very true, I issued the question of, what if God gave you an assignment that you absolutely hated and that you did not want to do, that you went kicking and screaming to have to complete this assignment? What if God actually told you to do something that you did not enjoy, that you, that you were not pleased with, and God still wanted you to do it? How would you feel? Would you feel the same way? Would you really want to go and do it? And so that's a question that I wanted to pose to you all this evening. What if we got an assignment? Now many of us have been in situations where we really enjoyed what we were doing, whether it was serving at church, serving on a particular ministry, whether we were volunteering, whether we were asked to do an assignment and we really got joy out of doing it, even if we weren't getting paid for it. You know, we just got this joy out of really completing this assignment. But what if God gave us an assignment that we literally did not want to do? As a matter of fact, how many of us have told God, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do this. I do not want to complete this assignment. I do not want to go help this individual. I do not want to go do this. I do not want to go do that. How many of us have been in that situation? And so the story of Jonah came to my mind, you know, and as we were, you know, as we're talking, and of course, and I will say that my friend did say, well, if God told me to do it, then I'm going to do it. So, yeah. So even in that, he knows, like, even if it was an assignment that he may not want to particularly do, if God instructed him to do it, he said, yes, he will, you know, he would do it. But how many of us would have to question and say, you know what, God, I'm not really sure about that. And so I thought about Jonah. If there ever was a person who hated the assignment that God gave to him, it was the prophet Jonah. Okay. And I think back to the teachings that my pastor, shout out to Pastor Nicole Bradley of City Church. Pastor Nicole has been doing an amazing teaching on our theme for 2022, and our theme, our vision for our ministry is called Laser Focus. And she talked about being laser focused as we serve. And she mentioned during her teaching about, you know, about God showing us who we are to serve, who we are to be a blessing to, who we are to use our gifts for, to be a blessing to other people. And she did mention, like, you know, sometimes, you know, God will tell us to say, hey, I want you to go this place. And she's saying, like, and, you know, we'll say, like, oh, God, I don't think you're talking to me. You might be talking to somebody else, but you're not talking to me. And God is like, no, I'm talking to you. And so she said, you know, then we'll try to reason and be like, well, I can do this, but I don't know if I can necessarily do this. And so even though that this is not what God is calling us to do, we're only going to give what we feel we should give. So it's not necessarily a sacrifice. So we felt like that we're at least giving something, but that's not what God called us to do, or that's not what God called us to give. And so that teaching was awesome. And so it made me think about Jonah. And many of us have heard the story of Jonah, whether we were growing up in our childhood and we've heard about the story of Jonah, of how Jonah disobeyed God and he was swallowed up in the whale because he didn't want to go preach to Nineveh. So this is definitely a story that we have all heard. But from reading the book of Jonah, there were several nuggets that we can get out of the story of Jonah. And even though the focus on Jonah's disobedience has been prevalent, I also want to point out that for me, the story of Jonah speaks more to the compassion of God and the love of God more than the disobedience of Jonah. Okay, so we're talking about what to do when we get an assignment that we do not want to do, when God gives us an assignment and we go kicking and screaming, or we try to get out of it, or we don't go at all. Okay, so of course we're starting at the end, you know, Jonah, the book of Jonah is a very short book. So if you ever get an opportunity, to definitely, to go over and read through the book of Jonah, it only has, 4 chapters, in the book. And of course, it's definitely a great read. Okay, so I want to start off with just a quick synopsis. And I found this on www.gotquestions.org. So if you ever want to go take a look at this, you definitely can. And again, that's www.gotquestions.org. And the question arose, and it says, why was Jonah angry with the Ninevites? Why was Jonah angry that the Ninevites repented? Okay. And this, of course, this is found in Jonah throughout the book. Okay. And this was the answer to the question. And we're going to kind of break this thing down as I read through. So it says, it seems strange that a preacher would be angry that his listeners repented of their sin. But that's exactly Jonah's reaction to the Ninevites' repentance. Okay, so in Jonah 4:2, it tells us why. And Jonah is talking to God, and he says, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. So Jonah knew from the start that God was gracious and merciful. He realized that if the people of Nineveh repented, God would spare them. The prophet was angry at their repentance because he would rather see them destroyed. Okay, so we're talking about Jonah having a real emotion. And he basically knew, because he knew that God was merciful. His love was abounding, slow to anger. And so Jonah already knew that if I go and preach to these people, God is going to save these people. I don't want these people saved. I want God to destroy these people. So basically God told Jonah, hey, I need for you to go to Nineveh to preach. Jonah was like, I ain't going. I don't like these people. I'm not going to preach to them. As a matter of fact, not only am I not going to go preach to them, I want you to destroy them. So I ain't going. All right. So this is a real deal emotion. So how many of us have ever been in a situation where, someone has done us wrong and God leads us to say, hey, I want you to pray for this person. I would like for you to help this person. And we're like, God, I'm not sure if you're talking to me, but I don't think that's going to happen. And so, if we can be honest with ourselves, we have been in situations where we have had to pray for people who we do not like, who have done us wrong, who have lied on us. Yeah. And God has asked us to bless these people. So it's safe to say that many of us have felt like Jonah. It's safe to say that I have felt like Jonah. And so we're dealing with someone with a real emotion. And this is the prophet of God. Let's also put this out here too. This is a prophet of God, you know, who vowed to basically be God's man. You know, God, I'm going to go where you send me. I'm going to speak what you tell me to speak. And so here we have the prophet telling God, I ain't going. Yeah, so he runs. And And so we're going to read on to find out, of course, and of course, you know what happens, you know, of course he runs, he doesn't go, he's disobedient. And, you know, he gets on the ship and then a storm comes and then they find out, of course, it's the storm is and the sea is raging and things like that because of Jonah being on the ship. And if you're reading the scripture, Jonah does actually take accountability for the storm. I believe it's Jonah chapter 1 verse 12, and he says, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "that it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon me." And this of course is the New International Version. So he knew why the storm was happening. He knew it was his fault. So of course Jonah, he took accountability for it. And though they did not necessarily want to throw him in the sea initially, they tried to, they tried to row back to the land, but they couldn't. And so the men cried out to God, you know, to say, "Please don't hold us accountable, you know, for what he did." And of course, they did have to throw him overboard. But God provided the whale, the great fish, to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. So at this point, or like, you know, my sister and I like to say, ATP. At this point, Jonah has nothing but time on his hands. He has nothing but time to think about, think about his actions, you know, being in the stomach of a big fish. Okay. All right. So let's get back to this answer here on Got Questions. It goes on to say there are several possible reasons for Jonah's desire to see Nineveh destroyed. Okay. Now, first, Nineveh, and this, of course, is little backstory of why he wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. First, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, a ruthless and warlike people who were enemies of Israel. Nineveh's destruction would have been seen as a victory for Israel. Second, Jonah probably wanted to see Nineveh's downfall to satisfy his own sense of justice. After all, Nineveh deserved God's judgment. Third, God's withholding of judgment from Nineveh could have made Jonah's words appear illegitimate, since he had predicted the city's destruction. Okay, so there were several reasons why Jonah wanted Nineveh destroyed. Okay, now I will say this. The reasons why Jonah wanted Nineveh destroyed were just that. They were Jonah's reasons. How many times have we had our own thoughts, our own opinions about a situation? You know, when we haven't sought God on any of it, you know, we have our own views, our own opinions of why a person should be dealt with, you know, why a person should be handled, taken care of, or things like that. But they're not God's reasons. They're our own. So these were Jonah's reasons. I mean, even to the point of telling God he ain't going. He's not going to preach because he already knows what's going to happen. So, of course, this was Jonah who made that decision. Okay. So now that, of course, Jonah's inside the belly of the great fish, and he begins to pray. And this is, of course, in chapter 2 of the book of Jonah. And he begins to pray while he's in the belly of the fish, because like I said, now he has nothing but time and to think about his actions. But while Jonah is praying, as it gets to the end of that chapter, it was like Jonah had an aha moment. An epiphany. Okay. And it starts at verse 7. I'll start at verse 7 and I'll read to verse 10. And Jonah is praying. He says, he's talking to God. He says, "When my life was ebbing away," ebbing means to diminish, to be reduced. So when his life was diminishing away, is what he said, "I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Verse 8 says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. 9 says, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And verse 10 says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So as the end of chapter 2 begins to come to a close, in those last few verses, it's like when it's almost like Jonah realized that it wasn't about him. It wasn't about what he thought, but it was about God. And it was about God's agenda, God's assignment for his life. And so when he says, what I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. So even though he had to sit in the belly of a whale, or like the scripture says, the belly of a great fish for those 3 days and three nights, he knew that him going to preach to Nineveh had nothing to do with him, that he had to put his feelings to the side, his emotions to the side, and realize that he had made a vow to God, and it is through God where salvation comes. And I think we can learn a awesome lesson from Jonah, because, you know, we are human beings and we have emotions, and sometimes our emotions kind of sometimes make, you know, guide our decisions, even though they're not supposed to, because your emotions are temporary. And, you know, I've heard this statement before, and I've said this statement too to other people, you know, that we should never make permanent decisions off of temporary emotions, you know, because, you know, our emotions sometimes can get us in trouble. Case in point, Jonah, you know, so, but even after we come to ourselves and we realize who it's about, it's not about us, it's about God. Amen. So I'll go ahead and finish reading this up here. It says, we can learn from Jonah's negative example that we should praise God for his goodness. Okay. First, our God is a merciful God. Remember, this is about God. Everything that we do, God gets the glory out of it. Okay. First, our God is a merciful God, willing to forgive all those who repent. All right. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Amen. The Ninevites were Gentiles, yet God still extended his salvation to them. In his goodness, God warned the Assyrians before sending judgment, giving them a chance to repent. Second, God cares for people of every nation. I'm going to repeat that. God cares for people of every nation. God, the God that we serve, is a missional God. He is a global God. Okay. He is not just the God of the United States of America. Okay. God cares for people of every nation. By nature, he is a savior. All right. As Luke 15 reveals in the parables of the lost sheep, lost coin, and lost son, God's heart is for the redemption of all who will come to him. Further, the Great Commission in Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20 emphasizes God's call to take God's message of good news to all nations. Okay. And Matthew 28:18 talks about, again, that Great Commission. All right. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Romans 1:16 also emphasizes the importance of sharing the gospel with both Jews and non-Jews. Okay. For that verse says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So don't forget that the Ninevites, or the people of Nineveh, were Gentiles. All right. Third, God is concerned for those who have never heard the message of his salvation, the mention. OK, and so and before I go into this, in the last chapter of Jonah. OK, now this is where we really see the compassion of God and the true relationship between Jonah and God. OK, so when you get a chance to read it, Jonah is angry at God's compassion. Okay. So, Jonah comes to God and he is mad. He is extremely angry with God and he lets God know that he's angry with him. Okay. So Jonah basically says, and we read it at the beginning here of what Jonah tells God, you know, Lord, I already knew that you were going to save these people if I went and preached, and you did just that, you know. And so he was like, you know, God, I'm mad. And God, being a loving father, asked Jonah, why are you angry? The Lord replied in verse 4, have you any right to be angry? And Jonah was so mad at God. You know, he was just displeased for God delivering the people of Nineveh. And down in verse 9, God asked Jonah again, do you have a right to be angry? You know, I'm sorry. I skipped over a little bit, but let me go back up here to verse 5. And it said, Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then in verse 6 says, then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. Then in verse 7, it says, but at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. Verse 8, when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind and sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And Jonah, he wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. So Jonah was upset that God saved the people of Nineveh, and Jonah was mad about the vine. He's just mad. And so God asked Jonah in verse 9, said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? And Jonah's reply to God says, I do. He said, I am angry enough to die. So at this point, Jonah is pouting. He acting like a big baby. And God is literally taking into account Jonah's emotions, his anger. But what God does not do to Jonah is he does not turn Jonah away. He does not curse Jonah. He does not tell Jonah, watch your tone. He literally asked Jonah, why are you angry? You know, he allowed Jonah the space to express his emotions, to express his anger, to express his displeasure for God saving the people of Nineveh. But God never casts Jonah away, and nor does he get angry at Jonah for Jonah getting angry at him. This is what happens when you have a relationship with God. And so in this book, you see the compassion of God towards the people of Nineveh. And though Jonah is angry at God's compassion, God shows that same compassion and relationship with Jonah, because he took an account to Jonah's feelings and he gave space for it. This is the God that we serve. Amen. So I'm going to finish this up, this last part. Where it says that God mentions, God talks to Jonah and asked Jonah in the last verse of the book of Jonah, and said that the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight.
Verse 11 says, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? So God's basically saying, Jonah, the things that you're angry about, why are you angry? And so this last part here says the mention of more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left. Of course, again, that's found in Jonah 4:11, most likely refers to those who know nothing of spiritual truth concerning the things of God. They cannot tell up from down or right from left. So the people of Nineveh could not even tell right from wrong. And it ends by saying God takes pity on the spiritual blindness of the pagan. God desires to extend his salvation to all who will repent and turn to him. Amen. So I want to end tonight's show. And I know this is probably a lot. I tried to get in and then within this time. But the story of Jonah has so many nuggets in it. Because we can actually see ourselves in Jonah, if we could be honest and be real with ourselves. Some assignments that God has told us to do or have given to us, we don't necessarily want to do it. But at the end of the day, just like Jonah, we realize that it's not about us, but it's about God getting the glory. And one thing about God, anything that he asks us to do, it's going to be a win-win. Okay. So we have to know that. And we also have to know that at the end of the day, that God's love is steadfast. The scripture says God is a good God and his mercy endures forever. And so it's important for us to realize that, but to get that in our heart, to really get that in our spirit, to know how much God loves us. You know, his compassion fails not. And when we have that relationship with God, we can go to God just like Jonah did. We can go to him and express our anger. And it's like, you know, I'm mad. And sometimes many of us probably have expressed our anger to God to say that, you know, we were mad at God for something. But because God is such a loving God and we have that relationship with him, he gives us space to do those things. So he's not going to cast you away. He invites us to talk with him, to commune with him, to tell him what's on our mind. That's the importance of a relationship. Religion will have you thinking that you can't do that. But relationship calls for you to do that. God wants to know everything about you, even though he already knows everything about you. But God wants to have that communion time with you. He wants to commune with you. Amen. So for those who may be struggling right now with an assignment that you're not sure if it's something that you want to do, or if God has showed you that, yes, you are to do this and you're really not feeling it. If you're angry at God, if you have questions that you need to ask God, whatever it is, I encourage you to go to God. Yeah. Have your quiet time with him. Talk with God and listen to your Heavenly Father. He loves you. Amen. And he wants to spend that time with you. And so whatever questions you have, he has the answers for you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. You all have an awesome evening and an amazing weekend. Good night.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.